Our Father in heaven, we thank you because the entrance of your word brings light. Now, Lord, let that light shine in our hearts this morning to bring the excellency of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And let the message of the cross reach into our hearts this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. We give the Lord the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, put your hands together for the Lord, everybody in the house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to preach on the preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross will be my message here this morning. And we want you to pay attention and just follow along and let's see what the Lord is going to tell us. So I'm going to start here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to start from verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. I have a few scriptures to read. I'm going to try to go along very quickly so we can move on to the next thing after this. 1 Corinthians 1 and 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us is the power. You see, unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. Can you say amen? Well, if you are the one that is saved in here, can you say amen to that? Amen. Listen to the next verse. He said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise then? Where is the scribe? And where is even the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. What did he do? It pleased God that by the preaching, which is called foolishness, he praised God that through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Hallelujah. The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Amen. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Gentiles foolishness. But unto them which are called, whether they be Jews, Greeks, or whatever they be, the preaching of the cross and Christ crucified, and yea, him resurrected, it is the power of God, and it is the very wisdom of God. Amen. Now, a strange message. You may say, well, you know, it's not even resurrection weekend or anything like that. But there are many people, you know, as we prepare for the coming of the Lord, I've been talking to the Lord and say, well, Lord, you know, there's some preparation series that I've been wanting to teach. And I'm just watching and waiting, you know, for how the light will move and so on. So the Lord, you know, I've been thinking about it and so on and so far, and said, well, you know, I believe it's time. You know, so, you know, I'm going to, by the grace of God, be teaching on preparing for the coming of the Lord, a preparation series. And this is the beginning of it right here. The first one is to go back to the cross. Now, why are we talking about the cross today? Because there are many people that cannot stand the preaching of the cross. And we're going to talk about it today and bring out what it is all about. Many people can't stand that. You know, in fact, the Bible tells us here in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Turn with me quickly to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and let me read from verse 1. This is what will happen at the end. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Second Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. You know, so notice what he said. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. You know, so it's not all about smooth gospel that pat people at the back and so forth like that. It's not about all about the gospel that makes you feel good and so forth, or makes it comfortable for people, you know, and so on. No. It is a gospel that reproves. It's a gospel that rebukes. And it's a gospel that also exhorts with all long-suffering and doctrine. You know, and why was Paul charging Timothy to do the same? He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine anymore. See? But after their own loss, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. This exact, we're in that time right now. People do no longer want to endure sound doctrine. Neither do many pastors even want to preach sound doctrine. Because if you preach a message that stinks, you may run them off. And when you run them off, yeah, you're going to lose some offering. You know, so, you know, they won't want to preach a real message of righteousness and truth and so forth like that. You know, just preach a message that's lukewarm and it's easy for everybody, you know, and so on like that, and just make it an acceptable and a social environment for everybody. Well, no, that's not what the gospel is. Amen. The preaching of the cross will sting. That's right. It will rebuke. It will reprove. You know, but it will heal you and it will save you. Amen. That's the one that is the power of God. You know, there's no power in all this other kind of preaching. You know, I mean, I hear a lot of preachers, you know. I mean, sometimes when I want to get a good laugh, you know, I turn on the television sometimes, you know, and I hear people preaching about all this prosperity nonsense. You know, Jesus didn't send us to preach that. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, do we believe that God will not prosper his people? God will prosper his people. But that's not the message that he sent us to preach. He sent us to preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that people must repent. Hallelujah. You must repent. That's right. You cannot be saved. You know, let me tell you, let me digress a little bit and talk about it. You cannot, folks, you cannot, and I'm going to challenge everybody that's in here, you know, today. You cannot be saved by coming to church. You cannot be saved by, you know, just saying a few words. You know, preacher stands up and say, well, repeat these words after me. That's nonsense. You know, Bible says you must be born again. You must be converted. Hallelujah. This gospel of accepting, you know, there's no place in the Bible where it even says accept the Lord Jesus Christ. That phrase is not in the Bible. But people have coined it. They make it so easy. All you got to do is, you know, shake the pastor's hand, write your name in some register, say a few words, and all is hunky-dory, and then you go on about your business. You know, and then go right back and live like the son of the devil. Is that what the message of the gospel is? No. Let's hear what the preaching of the cross is all about. Now, for those that are not preaching the true gospel, listen to what Paul had to say. He said, well, why are you preaching like this? Because this message will be on the internet. And some folks do listen to it that are not necessarily in this church. Listen to this. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me. And mark them that walk, you know, as you have us for an example. This is what Paul said. This is Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. For many walk, verse 18, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. That's even some preachers. You know, they are enemies. They're not really for the gospel. They're enemies. You know, it's like, you know, devil has to mix it all up in there, you know, to get an uncertain sound in the gospel and so forth. Mix it up and all that. No. Well, the time is coming, and now is that God is going to cut, sift, and prepare, and thoroughly purge his floor. Amen. Amen. Now, a message like this may not be popular. You say, well, on a day like this and so forth. Yeah, that's exactly the day like this that you should hear. Because today is the day of salvation. And there is no other day. God never promised anybody another day. So you are here today, you better hear this message, because this may be your opportunity. Now, for those people who like to do other things contrary to the word of God, look at what God says to them, or preach contrary things contrary to the word of God. In Philippians 3 and 19, he says, God says, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And their glory is in their shame. And they mind earthly things. It's like, you know, I mean, it's how much prosperity you have. It is how much, I mean, how affluent you are. And that's the measure of how God is blessing you and how God is favorable in your life. Well, God blesses even the wicked. Amen. He makes his sun to shine upon everybody. Now, that's not a measure of anything. You know, you're going to hear what the true measure is here today. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You always say, well, you know, tough message. No, not really at all. You haven't even heard anything tough. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, Paul said from verses 2 to 5, he said, look, when I came among you, I determined that I would not know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The message of the cross, what was he was preaching. And why did he say that? He said, look, I don't want your faith to be based on the wisdom of man and how well I can preach and how smooth the gospel sounds and so on. But it needs to be based in the power of God. Let me read it straight out of the scriptures for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words. We don't need to entice anybody to believe the gospel. Amen? Amen, folks? We don't need to entice anybody. If you want to believe, you know, if you are called, you will believe. Jesus said, you know, those that are of my Father will hear my words. You know, so we don't need to entice anybody. You know, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Holy Ghost and of power, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, we've already read the scripture that tells you that the preaching of the cross is to us that are saved, the power of God. That's where the real power is, you know. The church is crying for revival. But there's not going to be any real revival until there's a return to the cross. It's not going to be any real revival until people return to righteousness. You know, the elements that we need today, like never before, is righteousness, faith, and love. So the things that we need like never before. That, remember, the scepter of thy throne is a scepter of righteousness. You know, your journey into towards the kingdom of God begins with righteousness. Righteousness means to be in right standing with the Lord. Not what the world says, not what other people think, but what the Bible says. Praise the Lord. Now, not a message of convenience. Not one that makes you feel good. Because Paul said, I don't want your faith to stand in the wisdom of men, you know, but in the power of God. Now, Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Listen to what Paul said. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Can I hear somebody say, I'm crucified with Christ? What does that really mean? Now, he didn't say, I was crucified with Christ, and now I'm raised, and I'm no longer on that cross. He never said anything like that. I am crucified with Christ. I am still crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Amen. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What does it mean to be crucified with Christ? In the book of Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, Jesus would explain that. What does it mean to be crucified? Now, this is not past tense. This is not, I was crucified with Christ. No, this message is not about past tense. This is a present, continuous tense. This is what Jesus said. If any man will come after me, the latter part of the verse, let him deny himself and let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Hallelujah. That means be crucified daily. You know, you must be ready to be stay on that cross, folks. If you were ever on that cross and the devil told you, come down, just like he told Jesus, come down from there. You saved all the others. Why can't you save yourself? They mocked him because they wanted him to come out of that cross. Well, today, there's so many things that are appealing to people, appealing to believers, to make them to come out, come down from that cross and be like the world. Do all the things that the world is doing. Be like the rest of everybody else, you know. But the Holy Spirit says, stay on that cross. Amen. Be crucified with Christ. Stay right there. Now, if you cannot deny yourself, that means, well, you're still thinking about your pain. We were doing the Bible review today, and I was talking about, you know, if you're embarrassed, you know, to witness for Christ, you know, if you don't know how to share your faith because you are afraid of what people will do and so forth, well, you are still concerned about yourself, you know. And except you deny yourself, empty yourself of yourself, and take up your cross, whatever it is, be ready to suffer indignity, you know, for the name of Christ. Amen. You know, that's how it goes. And that's not a message of convenience, but you must do that daily and you must follow the Lord. Now, you know, if you come into church, I mean, on Sunday, it's a nice day to come to church, put on your nice clothes, come and say hi to your friends. Or perhaps you young people, maybe your parents drag you to church and so forth. Maybe you don't really know what it means, you know, to come to the Lord and so forth. Well, let me make it very, very plain to us today. If you're looking also for a message of convenience, well, it shows, for people who are looking a message of convenience, shows what's really in their heart. You know, Jesus said in Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, he says, take heed to what you hear. You know, because in the last days, they will heap to themselves, teachers having, you know, they have itching ears, so they heap to themselves, teachers, everywhere you turn today, there's another one person or the other preaching some gospel. But I don't know really what kind of gospel they're preaching. There's a lot of good preachers out there. They're preaching faithfully the word of God. We're not saying there are not, but there's so many out there that are just, we don't know even what they're doing. You know, they don't even have a business in the gospel. But they're there for a reason, to bring confusion, to bring, you know, to muddle up the waters and so forth, so that people don't really know where they're going, you know. But, you know, the true message of the cross is say, look, you know, be very careful what you hear, you know, because, you know, all this stuff that's going on out there, you know. And I've heard people that say, I've heard people that say, well, you know, this fellow, you know, I mean, I've heard, you know, a fellow that was in it. There are some people that are with the Lord for some time. And apparently, it looks like they were with the Lord. Now, listen to this, folks. Serve the Lord, it looks like, for many years, and then suddenly they backslide or they give up. You know, or you heard about that, you know, somebody that seemed to have been in the Lord for a long time, and then, you know, they walked away and so forth. But let me tell you something. They were never with the Lord. I'm going to tell it to you again. Because, you know, it's not how you start. Jesus said it clearly in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Amen? Oh, yes. And Ezekiel, Jeremiah, all of those people, they used to tell us, look, when a righteous man forsakes his righteousness and does iniquity and dies in his iniquity, well, all his righteousness that he did will be forgotten. Now, so some people say, well, all you got to do is say a few words and you are saved forever. That's rubbish. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. You must stay crucified every day. Because if you are not, the devil is going to get you. And he'll get you one way or another. Now, listen to this about people who walk away from the Lord after supposedly they have been in the Lord. Well, if they ever had the walk of God walking in them, they would not walk away from God. If you walked away from the Lord, you never had the work of God working in you to start with. Because the work of God in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14, Whatsoever the Lord doeth shall be forever. If the Lord is walking a walk of righteousness in you, you can't walk away from it, and he'll never walk away from you. But if you walk away from God, well, maybe you were never there to begin with. Listen to how Apostle John puts it in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19. For those, he said, some people went out from us. They left us. But they were not of us. I'm not talking of a local assembly. I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm not talking about this church at all. You know, I'm just talking of the body of Christ. If they left the body of Christ, well, that means they were never part of it. For if they had been part of it, they would no doubt have continued. Amen. But they went out so that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us to start with. I'm not talking about this local assembly, folks. I'm talking about the body of Christ. And why is it that people walk away? Because their faith were never rooted and grounded in the word of God. Because people were told, you know, just a few words, just say a few words and so forth. You know, the gospel of repentance has not been preached in this generation. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 5 and verse 17. This is the verse that I learned when I became a believer years ago. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Hallelujah. All things are passed away. You cannot be in Christ. Jesus said the same thing to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 3. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And Jesus never preached this, just accept. Jesus never told anybody, accept me as anything. You know, if you are not born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And if you are still living in your old ways, then you are not born again. Hello, folks. Because if any man be in Christ, go back to that scripture, 2 Corinthians 15. If you be in Christ, you are a new creature. All things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. Praise the Lord. Can you put that scripture up again? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I want people to look at it. Because these days, people don't bring their Bible to church anymore. You know, that's another thing. You know, people are always, I don't know what it is. I don't know how you'd come to church without bringing your Bible. I mean, I see people just walk to church. They don't bring their Bible. What's that all about? You know? And then, you know, some of the young people say, well, you know, I've got it on my tablet and I've got it on my iPad. That's a distraction. Because when you are on that, you know, every day in this service, I catch these young people on their iPad and on phone. I just did some in the back today. I say, what are you doing with that? Give it to me. You know? And then, you know, when we chase them around like that, you know, they say, well, you're mean. No, it's better for my gospel to sting you now and get you to heaven. Amen. Instead of me rub you over the head, pat you in the back so that the church can be full, and then the church may be full of a bunch of unbelievers. You know, today we have millions of people who call themselves Christians. But I don't really know what the word Christian is. I don't know what it is today. I mean, I knew what it is in the Bible, right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because in the book of Acts chapter 11, verse 26, the Bible says they were called Christians because they behaved like Christ. They looked like Christ. It was actually like, you know, if you read the last verse, it said, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. It was actually more like an abuse or whatever. I don't know what it was. It was a label. Maybe not an abuse, but it was a label that somebody else gave to them. It wasn't what they called themselves. But today, everybody say, I'm a Christian. But I don't know what kind of Christian it is that everybody is. I mean, churches are full of Christians today, but nobody wants to hear the message of the cross. Nobody really wants to repent of their ways. People want to do the same old things, you know, and then be with the Lord and be everything. No, you can't. It's not going to work, folks. We must repent. The gospel says, be thou converted. That's the gospel. Repent ye and be converted, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's always about repentance. Even when John the Baptist came, he said, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, any kind of gospel that doesn't start with repentance is not the true gospel. And the people will not repent, because they will just come to church and they feel good about some wonderful message and so forth, and then go on about their ways. And then you have a bunch of people in the church that look nothing like Christ. Nothing. But they look more like the world. You know, that's not going to work, folks. It is not going to work. Let me read to you some more serious things here. In case you say, well, why are we talking about this thing? You know, is this self-righteousness? No, this is not self-righteousness. But let me tell you what the Bible says about righteousness. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Little children, and you young people, listen to this. This is 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. You know, part of the reason why you should have your Bibles is you should mark these things down in your Bible. Because, if, you know, some people don't even have their Bible. They just depend on what's on the screen. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Some people say, well, nobody's righteous. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. That's the scriptures, folks. And he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. Some people may not know that this scripture is in the Bible. The devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. If anybody is living a life of sin, you know, that doesn't mean that, you know, people do stumble. And we have an advocate with the Father. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. But this is talking about a life of sin, you know. Now, if any man is born of God, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. That's right. They don't live in sin because God's seed remains in them. And they can't sin because they're born of God. You say, well, you know, that's really deep. Well, yes, that's the message of the cross. That's where Jesus wants us to be. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Be ye therefore also perfect, because your heavenly Father is perfect. That is the goal that Jesus set for us. And we cannot set any lesser goal for ourselves. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We must live and we must preach this gospel. This is the true gospel. You know, remember, in Matthew chapter 7, let me read this to you. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20. I don't have a lot of time to go too deep into this message on account of some other things we want to do, but it is going to be the beginning of some serious messages to get us ready for Christ. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20, this is the definition of being a Christian. By their fruits, ye shall know them. Amen. That's right. You know, it's not by what you say you are, you know, but by your fruits, we shall know who you are. Are you a believer? Do you love the Lord? I mean, are you ashamed of him? Will you stand up for Christ? Do you come to church on Sundays, shout victory, you know, and so forth like that, and praise the Lord, sing with the voice of an angel, go out Monday through Saturday and live like something else? You know, no, that's not going to work. By their fruits, we shall know them. Now, the message of the cross that we're talking about this morning is twofold. There's a responsibility on preachers to preach this message. And then there's a responsibility on everybody to live their life by the standard of the cross. Amen. Now, if your life is not by the standard of the cross, then you need to come back to the cross. There's always room for everybody at the cross. But the message that we are inviting you to today is a message that begins at the cross. What is the message? Well, for God so loved the world, everybody knows that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, you know, people have taken that message, they preach it all over the world, and a lot of good people have received the message. But over time, some of them fall away because there's no real repentance. And people don't, you know, from within, they're not regenerated. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness that we've done, but by renewing of the Holy Ghost, the washing of regeneration. We got to be changed. Hallelujah. But when you hear this gospel, even the angel, when he announced, he said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Let me explain this saving his people from their sins to people today. What does it mean to save them? Look, you cannot be saved from your sins every single day. You save from your sin today, you save from your sin tomorrow, you save. No, the purpose is for Jesus to remove that sin nature. He needs to get rid of it altogether. It's not just, you know, in some religions, like Catholic religion and some other things, you know, oh, Father, I have sinned. When was it since your last confession or whatever? You do whatever you want. As long as you just come back and say a few words, you go back and do whatever you want. Come back again. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. And so people want to be saved. They say, well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. No. The Bible says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. You are not saved today for tomorrow. It doesn't happen that way, folks. If a righteous man leave the righteousness and go into iniquity and he die in iniquity, his righteousness which he has done shall be forgotten. You must continue to the end. You must never give up. You can't say, well, I was saved 20 years ago, 10 years ago. I was filled with the Holy Spirit 15 years ago. I spoke with you. No, we're talking about today. And we're talking about continuing till the end. You must continue till the end. But the purpose of God is not beyond, it's beyond just saying, well, okay, so, you are not going to the judgment. You are saved. You are good. All you can do, you can just do anything you want and just say you are saved. Some people say, well, once saved, how they say it? Once saved, saved forever. That's the most nonsensical anything I've ever heard. There is no such scripture. He that continues unto the end shall be saved. You must continue to the end. Well, in the mind of God, if you want me to go into some deep things, I can. In the mind of God, because he already saw the end. And he knows that. But you, for you, you must continue unto the end. Hallelujah. Praise God. One time I was thinking about it and the Lord gave me a kind of illustration in my mind, understood it. It's like there's this big door and on one side of the door it says, whosoever will, let him enter through these doors. Now that's the message. Whosoever will. But do you think everybody will? Maybe some will, maybe some won't. You can't change the devil. So whosoever will, let him come through his doors. Well, when you come through those doors, if you do go through those doors, and then on the other side of the door, if you look back, you will see another inscription. It doesn't say whosoever will. It will say, you have been chosen to go through these doors. Hallelujah. But when you are here, you don't know that you've been chosen. There's an invitation. Whosoever will, let him come. He that is weary, come unto me and I will give you rest. He throws out the invitation to everybody. But will they accept? But when you accept, and after you accept, Jesus said it very clearly. You have to read the whole chapter of John chapter 15, where it talks about it. He said, if a man abide not in me, because he told them, he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. But if any branch, that means a branch that claimed that they were in him before, and they were actually in him, at one time, if they do not abide in me, they will wither away and they'll be cut down. But you must abide in the Lord. Amen. So it's not just, oh, I was in him. No, it is, I am crucified with Christ. Present continuous tense. And stay on that cross. If you come down from that cross and you walk away from the Lord, and the Lord will never walk away from you. Amen. I'm married to the backslider, said the Lord. He wants people to come on back home. But will they come home? Now, if you've been coming to church here at this church, perhaps you follow your parents, perhaps you're invited, whatever, I don't know how you got here. And if you've never really taken stock to make sure that your life is in line with the Word of God, and you think that you're just a believer because you come to church or whatever, you're dead wrong. You know, when you hear a message like this, you have to make a decision within yourself. I'm going to follow the Lord. Amen. Jesus said to them, will you also go away? You know, I mean, so many people walk away from the Lord and so forth, you know, but, you know, we preach not ourselves. This is not about this church. We preach not ourselves, but we do try by the grace of God to preach our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And to exalt him. You know, but if the message stinks a little bit, it's because the Lord wants to get you in by all means. Praise the Lord. He wants to get you in by all means. You know, it is that message that stings. That's the one that's going to get you there. You know, the message that pats you on the back, say, oh, everything's all right. No, everything is not all right. You must repent. And you must be converted. And you must leave your old ways. And you must come to Christ. And for you young people, it's not all right. What you see in the world, what's going on television, is not all right. And let me close this by challenging us today. You can read this story similar to what I'm going to say now in the book of Luke chapter 13 and the first few verses. And they came and told Jesus, they said, well, you know, they told him about this and they told him about that, you know, things, evil things that are happening all around. And Jesus said unto them, look, those 18 people upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell, and those upon whom they mingled their blood and slew their son, do you suppose that they were sinners above all? Let me tell you frankly, folks. You've heard about the destruction that's going on around this country. You've heard about hurricane this and hurricane that, and even in Mexico and this. You've heard about shooting in Las Vegas and so forth. Now, we don't make light of those things. I mean, we feel for the people who had losses like that. And we pray for them and so forth. You know, but let me tell you something. Let me challenge every one of us that's sitting in here today. Do you suppose that the people that were killed in Las Vegas, or the people that were killed, I mean, lost their homes in Texas, and the people that were killed in the earthquakes in Mexico, and, you know, all these other places that's been going on for the past few weeks or so, suppose ye that they are sinners above the others? Do you suppose? No. Jesus said, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, everybody must repent. Now, this is the time of repentance. The Bible says in the book of Acts, it says God will retain Jesus Christ until the time, you know, of restitution of all things. But he now commands everyone everywhere to repent. You must repent, folks. Amen. And you must walk the straight and narrow way. And never mind if it's popular or not popular. I don't care if this message is not popular and so forth. I don't care if, you know, people don't come after this and so forth. You know, but, you know, we want you to get a hold of God and stay with the Lord. Amen. You know, praise God. But we are persuaded better things of you folks, even though we thus speak. But we speak like this because this is not a message just for this church. This is not a message. I mean, we put our messages out on the internet and people may listen to this and so forth like that. You know, but we believe that those that truly love the Lord, they will hear God's word. Amen. And if we run off a few devils, well, so be it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I want everybody to stand to your feet this morning. If you would, please. You say, well, you know, on a day like this, it's a joyous day. You're going to have a baby dedication and Thanksgiving, a lot of food and so forth. You know, maybe you ought to have preached a more joyful message. Well, we preach those joyful messages all the time. Go to the website. They're full of it. But today is a day of salvation. You know, and if I didn't have another chance to tell you, I told you today that you must repent and you must be born again. And you can't do it by just shaking my hand, folks. And I'm not going to tell you to accept anything. I'm going to tell you that you must give up your old ways. Amen. You must give up your... If you're not ready, don't worry about it. Just go on about your business. But remember, God will bring you into account for all these things. That's what the Ecclesiastes say. You young people say, rejoice in your days. Do whatever you like. It was speaking with a tongue in the cheek. He said, but remember, for all these things, God will bring you into the judgment. Now, we don't want you to do anything you want. We want you to give your life to Christ. Amen. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I mean, if you're going to serve the Lord, then serve the Lord already. But God doesn't have time for this, you know, one leg in the world and one leg in the church kind of thing. You know, be for God or be for the world already. And let's draw the line in the sand. Amen. You know, you say, who is on the Lord's side? You come out to me. You know, so we're drawing the line in the sand today. You know, enough of all those wonderful messages. Well, not here, you know, of just prosperity. And so that's not what we preach here at all. You know, but here is our messages to try to get you to heaven. Amen. Now, I want every head bowed in this place today. The message of the cross is to deliver our souls from death, spiritual death, and separation from God. It's to bring us into a relationship with Christ, a lasting relationship. We must have consistency in our faith. Can't just say, I believe then, but I don't believe now. It's not he that starts the race that is crowned. But you must finish the race, and that lawfully. Now, if you're here today, I know that in messages like this, and when you're in a mixed crowd like this, people come for service, people come from baby dedication or whatever and so forth. People will be embarrassed and they'll be ashamed and so forth like that. Well, now, this is the very perfect place for you to stand up for Christ. Amen. Because if you testify before men, I also will testify of your name before the angels of my Father in heaven. That's what the Lord said. That's so. If you're here today, we never want people to leave without giving you an opportunity to be really converted for Christ. And if you want us to pray with you, I want you to. I know when I make this invitation, there may be nobody and say, why are you doing this? You know, like mixed crowd like this. Well, I'm going to do it anyway. If you want to stand for Christ, you take a step of faith. Come on, stand here. Let everybody see you. Say, well, I made a decision. And you young people, if you've been coming to church, just following your parents and so forth like that, today you need to make a choice of whether you're coming to church for the Lord. I see people in the church most of the time. They're just standing around, aloof. They don't know what they're doing and so forth. Is that the reason why you're here? Is your life different now that you claim to be a believer? If you want to make that commitment to Christ, step forward. Now, if you've been a believer also, but you're not living the life of being crucified and staying on that cross, you walked away from the Lord. You say, well, you know, I can't come out. I mean, people are looking at me and so forth. Well, you may never get another chance. God doesn't promise anybody another day. If you're in that situation, I want you to come down. Let's pray with you. Let's believe God. And if you are not really sure that the gospel that you believed is a gospel of salvation, today is the day for you to begin to inquire more carefully after that manner. And say, Lord, I want to understand more. I want you to give me a better understanding. Hallelujah. Now, since I don't see anybody coming, and I didn't think people would come because I knew that it's a little bit embarrassing, but I had to make that public pronunciation anyway. Now, let's lift up our hands, everybody, and let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, because I'm free of the blood of everyone that is here today. Because I have preached that people must be converted, give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and must stay on the straight and narrow way till the end. Now, Lord, I pray that this message will not stand against any, but it will move every one of us in the direction of reconciling with God. And to make our lives acceptable before the Lord based on the message of the cross. Help each one of us, Lord, to stay crucified to that cross. Hallelujah. And to live for God every single day, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen and amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for your patience, for listening to that.